On Sunday, April 28th, members from the Northern Iowa Symphony Orchestra, UNI choirs, and faculty soloists will present Beethoven's magnificent Ninth Symphony, his choral symphony. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom for the Iowa Arts Showcase, and joining us today to tell us about the concert is UNI's Professor of Conducting and Music Theory and the Music Director and Conductor of the Northern Iowa Symphony, Dr. Rebecca Burkhart. And Becky, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, what a great way to polish off the semester with such a monumental work. And how did this concert get pulled together?
It's been something I've wanted to do for a long time. You know, Beethoven 9 is like Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. It's an Everest for lots of performers and conductors. And the right forces came together at the right time for this to be presented by the School of Music. We've invited some area alumni to come back and join the orchestra with us, which is going to be a lot of fun. And all of the choirs. It's rare that we put all of the choirs together for an event. We have four different choirs on the stage, the UNI singers, the concert chorale, which are primarily the music majors, and then we have the men's glee club and the women's chorus are coming together on this. And so it is a choir of nearly 200 people. So it's big. It's going to be a big sing. And for the choral part, it's less than 20 minutes of music in a 75-minute work. So it's called the Choral Symphony because it was one of the first that used a chorus as a part of a symphonic work. There will be many, many students and faculty and alumni on the stage, and we are very excited about that.
And you're collaborating with the Gallagher Blue Dorn then on this?
Yes, this is a joint production with the GBPAC and the School of Music.
Tell us about who the soloists will be.
Our vocal soloists are our vocal faculty at UNI. John Hines will be singing the bass solo, Jeff Brick, the tenor, Catherine Osborne as the mezzo, and Michelle Monroe, who is an alumna, is singing the soprano. It's a powerhouse quartet, that's for certain.
And John Hines gets the distinct opportunity to start off that choral section, which is so fun.
Yes, the recitativo. It's the only words that Beethoven wrote in the whole vocal choral part. Basically denying all the tones and let's have a prettier tune that we can live by. He'll have a good time.
And who are these ensembles directed by?
Dr. John Wiles is conductor of the Glee Club chorus and the concert chorale. And Dr. Amy Katsanis is conductor of the UNI Singers and the Women's Chorus.
So why is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony so special?
It's his last. It was completed and premiered 3 years before his death. It's one of the longest symphonies written, if not the longest, written up to that point. It's for large forces. The thing that draws me to it, other than the first three movements are strictly symphonic, there's no singing in them, it's just orchestral, but it's the first three movements and the power of those three movements and that demonic scherzo of the second movement that sets up the dichotomy for the beauty of the last movement. I think that's why the piece is so powerful. The narrative of the last movement is really a set of variations on a couple of tunes, the one big tune, the opening recitative for the bass section, and then the solo bassist, vocalist, and then a variation on the tune that everybody knows as Ode to Joy, which is the poem to joy that the chorus sings in the last movement. Beethoven said about a half of the stanzas of that poem, but the good half. The final tune, the Ode to Joy tune, is a tune that, because it's set up from this very dark place at the beginning of the symphony into a light place at the end, you just can't get it out of your head. It's so simple. It's prophetic. It's profound. He's trying to tell us that all people can be brothers and sisters. All people can come together. And in its simplicity is its magnificence. And so that's why everybody loves it, because it's just such a powerful, powerful ending. He just keeps building and building and building in sort of the depth of the orchestra and chorus. How many more times can we sing this simple tune, and how many ways can we sing it and combine our forces to bring it to the audience? It culminates in something that is the top of Mount Everest. It truly is. And that's when people get to go out with a wonderful oral picture in their head. And the tune itself was not one that he invented late in his life. He had come to the final Ode to Joy melody very early. We heard it in a song, 1794, I believe, Gegenliebe. And then he uses that same tune, sort of, in the finale of the Choral Fantasy, which also uses four solo singers and a chorus with the orchestra. There is a piano soloist as well as part of that fantasy, but the tune itself has a long history. And he even wrote to a friend saying he was going to set Schiller's poem back in the 1790s. He was going to set it stanza for stanza. Well, he got close to that, but it took him the rest of his life to get to it. So it was a concept that had been brewing for a long time. And he wrote nine symphonies, but his eighth symphony was finished in 1812. And this one was not completed until 12 years later. There's evidence he worked on it for a couple of years. And by the time he had finished his eighth symphony, he was completely deaf. So his ninth symphony, definitely, he was not hearing at that point. And so he was a hard man, and he had a hard life. He was not a pleasant man by his biographer's accounts. But he wrote such a great melody at the end of his life that it's so uplifting for someone who had such a difficult time in his life.
He kept his tender side well hidden.
He did. He did.
So when and where is this going to be held, and how can folks get tickets?
It's easy to get tickets. It is going to be Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in the Great Hall of the Gallagher Blue Dern on the UNI campus. You can get your tickets at Unitix right on the website. UNI students can get in free with their ID. There will be no intermission. It's going to be played all the way straight through. And the general public can get tickets online at Unitix. And high school students, if you go to the website, there is a $5 ticket for students who aren't college students that they can come for $5. All they have to do is just call the box office and give that code. If they look on the website, they can see where that code is. We want everybody to be able to experience this because, I'm going to tear up, it's not only a life experience for the people playing it and performing it, it's a life experience for the people hearing it. And you don't get to hear it very often, even though it is the most played symphony in the world. And I tell my students and all of the people playing with us, this will be the only Beethoven 9 you may ever get to perform, and this will be the only Beethoven 9 that most of the audience will ever experience live. So it's really important. So buy your tickets and come and join us for this wonderful celebration.
I meant to ask you earlier, why do you think this work is still relevant today?
Oh, because we always have hope. That's what the poem is about, is that we hope that in the starry firmament somewhere, our human race can come together and live as one people. And I think that's why it's so important. And that's why the tune is so powerful. It's simple, yet profound.
Thanks for today's chat goes to IPR's Chris Fenton and Alexis Hahn, and a great big thanks to Dr. Rebecca Burkhart, who will conduct Beethoven's Ninth on Sunday afternoon, April 28th at 2 p.m. And thanks for joining us today, Becky.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.